Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Singing Machine second quarter earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We have a quick safe harbor, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of the Singing Machine Company.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gary Atkinson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Singing Machine. I'm joined with me this morning by Lionel Marquis, the company's CFO, and Bernardo Melo, our VP of Sales and Marketing. For those of you who are on the call, I'm sure everyone's aware that our second quarter financial earnings release was released earlier this morning. For those of you who have not had a chance to look at it yet, it is widely available on all major financial websites, as well as the SEC EDGAR website, and as well as singingmachine.com under the investors section. I'd like to start this morning with Lionel. I'd like to turn over to Lionel to give us an update on the numbers that were released this morning. We'll turn it over after that to Bernardo, who'll give us an update on some of the sales and marketing initiatives that have been going on during the second quarter, and giving us a forward look at some of the holidays, the holiday season. And I will wrap up the call at the end with some final thoughts on the second quarter and looking a little bit beyond. And then we'd like to keep some time at the end to open it up for questions and answers. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Lionel to give us an update on the numbers.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lionel Marquis, the CFO, the Singing Machine. I'd like to preface my financial highlights review by addressing the Toys R Us impact on the overall business. For those of you who have seen the results, you know that Toys R Us has, you know, played a major role in terms of our revenue for the quarter. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about it up front. That way I don't have to keep referring it through this call. Toys R Us, we lost some high margin sales with regards to Toys R Us. They accounted for approximately $5.4 million of the decrease quarter to date and $6.3 million year to date. And that accounts for approximately half of the decrease that you're seeing in the sales area. The remaining 50% is primarily due to approximately $4.5 million worth of sales that rolled out of the last week in September into the first week and second week of October. So it's a timing issue with the other 50%. Had all gone the way we wanted to, we would have been approximately $5 million or $4.5 million higher in Q3, but you will see it in Q2, I'm sorry, but you'll see it, the difference in Q3. So as you would expect, you're going to see that some of the variable selling, general, administrative expenses decreased commensurate with the decrease in sales. But as I review the financial highlights, I'm going to note those variable expense reductions due to the sales decrease, but I'll also point out other variances related to other business matters that took place during the quarter and year to date. So we just discussed sales. Again, to recap, $24.3 million in sales for Q2 versus $32.8 the prior year, $26.1 year to date versus $36.7 in the prior year. Approximately a 30% decrease, and we've already discussed the primary reasons for that. With regards to gross profit margin, it was down as a dollar amount by approximately 33% and 37% due to the sales, the decrease in sales. And the gross profit margin decreased by approximately 2.3% during the quarter and 2.6% year to date. And this has to do with the mix of products being sent out, more highlighted in the first 2 months of promotional Black Friday products, which tend to be sold at a lower margin versus the last half of the year where we're selling a lot of the major products that'll carry a higher margin. The sales, general, and administrative expenses, there was $3,447,000 in selling, general, and administrative versus $4,097,000 in the quarter of last year, same quarter. That is down by $650,000. Year to date, we had $5.3 million versus almost $6 million in the prior year, and that's down by $667,000. It's kind of split half and half between the selling expenses and the general and administrative expenses. The selling expenses were down by $366,000. $452,000 of that was due to cooperative advertising allowance, and that was decreased because of the lost sales. That was offset by about $103,000 in additional discretionary marketing expenses that we spent during both the quarter and year to date. And sales, Bernardo will touch upon some of those programs. They have to do with trade shows and other promotions that we've done to position ourselves for the future. Year-to-date, our selling expenses were down $385,000, of which $539,000 was due to advertising allowance, but we did spend, and that was offset by an extra $158,000 that we spent in discretionary marketing. On the general administrative side, we're down by approximately $308,000 and $333,000 quarter-to-date and year-to-date, respectively. Our logistics arm is doing extraordinarily well in obtaining new customers that help lower their costs, if you will. They brought in some independent 3PL customers, and they're running approximately $111,000 and $148,000 year-to-date, quarter-to-date and year-to-date, respectively, favorable to what they did last year. And the other big item in general administrative expense is that we had licensing fees that we needed to pay to use tooling from our parent company that we did not for our pedestal units. And since we had an excess amount of pedestal units in inventory, we did not have to buy them this year. So consequently, there was $116,000 in licensing fees that did not get repeated during the current quarter or year to date. One large difference in the quarters between the two, it has to do with bad debt. As you know, in the second quarter of last year, we wrote off approximately $2.1 million in bad debt due to the Toys R Us bankruptcy. This quarter, what's included in the numbers is a $233,000 recovery on that bad debt due to an agreement that was reached with many of the vendors out there, recovering approximately 15% of our administrative claims. There's still some more recovery to come, potentially in this fiscal year. It's not a whole lot, but it could amount to another $60,000 to $75,000. So we're hopeful that that will hit us in the quarter, but it's just a big difference between the two quarters, obviously. Income from operations was $1,672,000 in quarter two versus $1,305,000 in quarter last year. The loss of sales and the timing of shipments versus the bad debt recovery were the reasons for the increase there. On a year-to-date basis, $340,000 versus $518,000. We're down about $178,000 year-to-date. However, had we had that $4.5 million that rolled over into the other quarter, we would have been ahead of the game as far as last year versus this year's concern. Just wanted to take you through the balance sheet very quickly. We had almost $20 million in accounts receivable versus $28.6 million in accounts receivable last year. That's approximately a 30% change, is very much commensurate with the drop in sales that we witnessed. We have no exposure to Sears, Kmart, in case anybody's curious about that. So we believe that all of the receivables that we have in there are not in any risk type of situation. Our inventory at this point, it would have been $12 million, almost $13 million at the end of the second quarter, versus $14.2 million at the end of the second quarter last year, a drop of approximately $1.3 million. We're moving out the excess inventory we had last year, and we're continue on that track to move out some of that excess inventory for the remaining 6 months. Accounts payable, $18,655,000 versus $22,198,000 last year, commensurate with the drop in inventory. As a ratio of accounts payable to inventory, it's 1.5 to 1 at the end of this quarter versus 1.6 to 1 last year. Very comparable, and all of our vendors are paid and current against their terms. Also like to give a shout out to not only our parent company for helping us with the cash flow situation and postponing, suspending some of their monthly service expenses for 6 months. Also PNC Bank giving us allowances, one-time allowances, if you will, for the Toys R Us situation last year to help us meet our covenants and move forward with the financing on our ABL line as normal. So that's my report. I'll give it back to Gary here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lionel. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Bernardo, who'll give us a sales and marketing business update through the second quarter and beyond.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's having a good time. I'm going to break down the my side of the call into a couple of different situations, what has happened till now, how we're moving forward for the rest of the year, and how we plan to attack it moving forward. Just know that going into our second quarter, we had a little bit of a all around weird situation where Toys R Us was liquidating items, getting real aggressive on pricing, and we saw some numbers during the month of April, May, June, that were unusually high for that type of year, and it was just Toys R Us driving their liquidation out, which did have some effect on some of the other retailers in this category and other toy categories. So we had a little bit slower than usual summer, and things started sort of getting back to normal and now picking up in September and October, and now we're seeing a nice pickup in November as well. A couple of highlights that we tried to accomplish, that we have accomplished this year to offset the loss of Toys R Us. We've increased our distribution with our partner in Alliance. Alliance is now distributing to a lot of the regional toy stores that were not accessible to us in the past. In the past, we were only dealing with the big brick and mortar stores. Now we've started to penetrate some of the regional stores as well as Learning Express and stores that are part of a toy group that's called the Good Toy Group. We attended both of their shows this year. They were excited that they finally had access to some of our inventory late 2017, and have increased that exposure in 2018. We also landed a good program through Alliance at Dillard's, where we're selling our flagship item, the Studio. It's off to a good start. We have good presentation there with a nice display. We just had an event over the weekend in Nashville that went really well, and now we're looking to duplicate some of those events across the nation, with Florida being next pretty soon. So we're excited at the regional toy chains continuing to support the Singing Machine and increasing their appetite for it. As you guys are well aware, Toys R Us used to give us about 12 feet of space, which allowed us to have a lot of different SKUs. And within those SKUs, we've had some exclusivities that were only for Toys R Us that, at the beginning, we've had slow chances turning them over to other retailers. Now we've had some good wins where Amazon has started to pick up some of the toy line, and they're starting to perform really well and getting good reviews online. So we think that the toy line is going to end well going into the holiday season. Also, Target chose the Kids Pedestal, which happened to win the Toy Award this year for a parent magazine. They chose that to be their feature Black Friday two-day ad. So we were excited about that. They bought a good amount of numbers, and we think the sell-through is going to go well. They also increased their karaoke presence in the toy section in about 400 of their stores this year. And that set late October, early November, and we quickly saw a nice increase in sell-through. They launched it with a one-day event of 25% off of all Singing Machine, and we saw almost 100% increase in some of the items that were promoted. Back to Amazon. Amazon, we had some tough negotiations, as I mentioned before in the previous call, that lasted a while, that kind of put the business stagnant. They presented some challenges to us. We have met every single one of those challenges, and now our business is back to normal there. As a matter of fact, last week we had a 20% increase year over year in sales and also week over week. So they're getting in the full swing of things. Our items are being promoted in their electronic gift guide, in their toys, in their new product launch with the studio. So Amazon is supporting a lot of products from us from a marketing standpoint. We're investing heavy into Amazon marketing services to make sure that Singing Machine stays top of line when you're thinking about musical instruments or the music category or the karaoke category. So we're well positioned there to get back some market shares, and I think Amazon is well positioned to take some of the lost sales in Toys R Us. Walmart as well. Walmart this year has, beginning with September, has gotten, increased their sales. Last week we had an amazing week where we're selling a lot of microphones. Our inline item grew. And our secondary inline item has started to increase also as well. We just met with Walmart, and they're extremely happy with what the Singing Machine is doing. Walmart.com is investing heavy in the karaoke space as well. They're putting a lot of marketing behind it, a lot of lifestyle pictures. If you guys take a notice of the Black Friday ad, they had a good showing for Singing Machine products there at an aggressive price. Part of their sister company, Sam's Club, this year increased to 3 SKUs there from last year having 2 SKUs. So now we have a 39, a 49, and a 169 price point. And the entry-level price points are doing extremely well. We think the 169 item is going to perform well with their Black Friday ad that just came out as well at 149. Costco year over year is up 5% on the same item as last year, just with some new features. Overall, just pretty good. Now, we have some wins internationally that I want to discuss. We have Spain that bought into one of our flagship items, the Groove Cube. They brought it in under the license of CIFE, which is their version of The Voice or American Idol. They brought in a test order and have already sold out on inventory, so we're excited about that. Smith's Toys increased their presence from 4 feet to 6 feet on karaoke, and they went as high as 229 euros price point. So they see karaoke as a good growth business. We're also in the Nordic area through Top Toy. We're in their Toys R Us version. Stores there in the Nordic, and also their privately owned retail stores that are called BR, which are similar to a KB toy assortment. We have good presence there with 4 SKUs. Last year they tested one item. They liked it enough that now they've increased their presence to 4 SKUs. So we did a tour of Europe, and we saw a lot of our products now on the shelf in Europe, which is a big win for us to try to make back some of that money from Toys R Us. So you'll see that continuing to grow. We launched in Australia this year, and already they've reordered about 4 different times. And if we had inventory in Asia, they would have taken some more. But production is pretty much done for the year. So we're excited with our new partnership in Australia as well. We think Australia could be close to a $2 million market. They have Target, they have Costco, they have the Big W. Kmart still does well there, and we're looking to get into each one of those retailers with a heavy presence. So I'll leave the individual questions on anything that I discussed towards the past, but in a forward-looking statement, we're still continuing to grow our international presence. We have more. We're in negotiations now with additional distributors to cover additional markets, and you know, we look to bounce back in 2019 with with things back to normal. So,
perfect.
With that, I'll hand it over to Gary.
Thank you, Bruno. So I want to make sure I save some time here at the end for questions, but did just want to pass on some final thoughts on the second quarter and looking forward from my perspective. Obviously, I mean, anyone here listening to the call today, you know, we can all tell that the second quarter, there was a lingering hangover from the Toys R Us liquidation. But I do feel very confident that we're turning the corner on that now. I think as we move into the third quarter, we're going to see some bigger things. We have, we've been diligently working, as Bernardo mentioned, on expanding our international pipeline. We're also have been very aggressive making inroads with some non-traditional and new retailers here in North America to continue to expand our footprint in the wake of Toys R Us. And from the product side, we're still plowing ahead. We have a full slate of product releases set for 2019. We debuted our new products last month in October in Hong Kong, and our product lineup was met with a very enthusiastic reception. We are working on new product that is outside of the core karaoke lineup, still within the traditional music and music play category, but outside of karaoke. So we are, we're not pushing the brakes at all. We're continuing to move forward. If anything, push down the gas to recoup from that Toys R Us effect and set ourselves up for a brighter and better 2019. One thing also I wanted to touch on the margin. As Lionel mentioned, Q2 margin was lower than the historical trend. We see that as sort of a one-time blip. Lionel mentioned that Q2 sales this quarter were very heavily mixed as promotional Black Friday sales. Therefore, the overall margin was lower. But I do fully anticipate and expect that Q3 sales and sales for the full year end, those margins will return back to historical normal. So I don't see the Q2 margin being something that will carry on forward. So I think with all those things being said, we're excited to be entering the holiday season. We're going to be very heavily promoted at every single major retailer this year. We are seeing the pickup in momentum. We're seeing really, really strong sell-through right now. And we're excited to be moving on and moving into 2019. So with that being said, I'd like to wrap up our portion of the call and turn it over for any questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We'll pause to allow questions to queue. Okay, and it looks like we have a question from Ethan Starr. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I was generally pleased with the results. I'm wondering, how many doors are you in this year in the holiday season compared to last year?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit, Ethan. The question was, how many doors are we in this year?
Yeah, in the holiday season compared to last year. Any reason? I guess if you don't have an exact number, I assume it's a little bit less without Toys R Us.
Yeah, but, not necessarily. I mean, Toys R Us, we were in about 600 stores. With the addition of Dillard's, with the addition of Learning Express and some of the Good Toy groups, we did make back some of the stores. We're definitely down probably like 800 doors right now, maybe 600 doors. We did increase some internationally, so that has helped. I mean, like, for example, in Spain, we're over 50 different retail shops this year. It definitely impacted the number of doors. But more importantly, the shelf space that we had, because 12 feet of linear space of product was tough to make up with Toys R Us. We had a lot of space there. Where every other retail carries around either 2 feet or 4 feet of space. So more retail shelves than doors impacted us.
Okay, yeah, that's understandable. So retail sell-through is strong this thus far?
It is. We've seen a nice pickup. I mean, like Bernardo mentioned, the summer was slow just with the liquidation that was going on. Toys R Us was aggressively discounting product, and it did trickle on through to the rest of the retailers where we did see a decrease in sell-through. But since the liquidation cleared up, I mean, we saw everybody pop right back to where they were year over year, and now we're seeing that traditional, you know, holiday rush now where every week you're just seeing, you know, like Amazon 20% increase last week, just everyone's starting to ramp up right now.
20% increase in sales, you mean?
In our sell-through with Amazon, yes.
Yeah, okay. Will a greater percentage of your machines this year have karaoke download capabilities compared to last year?
I would say the number is about the same. The new studio product that we just launched, our big debut, that one features the new digital download technology. But Toys R Us carried a few of the digital download pieces, so we lost that, but we made up for it in some other areas. So I would say probably very close to similar to last year in terms of distribution on download machines.
Okay. A couple of months ago, you had a corporate presentation you released, and I recall that it said there's a graph showing already this fiscal year compared to last year, you're already at the download cap for all of last year. You already met the download.
I know what you're referencing. So that's not the number. That graph wasn't meant to illustrate the number of digital download machines in the market.
No, I understand that. Was it raw dollars or number of songs?
That was dollars from music sales, which is something I wanted to touch on. I'm glad you mentioned it. We have seen a significant pickup in Q2 on our digital music sales, mainly driven through the mobile app subscription sales. Those have significantly increased, and they're continuing the trend from Q1 over last year.
Okay. How about so far in Q3?
Again, very positive. I mean, the trend, more so, I mean, the digital sales, the digital download sales have been pretty much flat year over year compared to last year. Which, you know, given the fact that the number of hardware machines has pretty much stayed around the same, but it's really the mobile music subscription sales that are showing a significant year-over-year increase.
I see. So, okay, those are two different things then, the
yes.
Digital downloads and mobile app.
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. Is there any possibility of receiving any money from the Toys R Us bankruptcy estate?
Yes, we've already we participated in one of the settlements with Toys R Us. We've already received approximately $233,000.
And there's probably, you know, it's my understanding, the latest news, I believe they finally finalized the plan, so they can only distribute a portion of it. We're supposed to recover approximately 20% of our administrative claims. Which would have amounted to approximately $300,000, but because they still had a few unsettled pieces, they couldn't finalize the plan, so they dispensed with about 15.6%. So we recovered 233 of the 300. I just saw a caption today that the plan has now been finalized or approved. I need to get more information on that, so I don't. It could be another $75,000 coming here soon, but I'm not sure.
Okay, well, better than nothing, but still, it would be nice to get more.
Yeah. Yep. Of course.
Okay. So can you just touch a little bit, I mentioned in the press release, diversification into other non-karaoke items that are still in the music area. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we are looking to expand our product offerings. It's new. These are new products for 2019. We haven't, officially sort of lifted the veil on them to the public. We did debut them at a toy show in Hong Kong. I'll save it for a better announcement later, perhaps in Q3, in terms of announcing some of the new products. But just to tease it, we are looking to expand the offerings outside of core karaoke.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. You can only go so far with karaoke. Last year at LD Micro, you displayed a couple of educational items that Singing Machine has developed. Is anything happening with those?
Yeah, they're still in our lineup. We're still distributing them. You can see them on Amazon now. They're very heavily reviewed, overwhelmingly positive responses to them. We are looking to launch new toy products for next year. To be honest, though, the learning side of it we haven't been successful yet in getting traditional brick-and-mortar distribution behind those items, just because I think in the sense that we don't have a full line to support those learning products. So when we pitch them to retail, we're literally just pitching that sort of one-off type product. And retailers today, they're really looking for a lineup. You know, they want to see a good, better, best. They want to see a full story and a line to support a product. They don't typically buy sort of one-off categories. So I think it's still a work in progress for us, but it the item itself has been very favorably reviewed and received. So I think it's an area for us to continue working on.
Okay, great. Any more comments on the current quarter?
No, I mean, maybe just one other thing, just to reiterate what Lionel said. I mean, the numbers in terms of net sales don't fully tell the story. We did have close to $5 million that technically did ship in September, but due to revenue recognition rules had to slide over into the third quarter. So there is about a $4.5 to $5 million movement of sales out of Q2 into Q3. So it's not like the sales are gone. It's not like they're not there. It's just they're moving from one quarter to another. I think that would be something worthy to note.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. I look forward to good holiday results.
Perfect. Thank you, Ethan. I appreciate it.
Our next question comes from Mike Schellinger. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I noted in the 10-Q that international sales were flat for the six-month period for 2017 to 2018 at approximately $3.0 million. And what I was wondering is for 2017, were there Toys R Us international sales that were included in that $3.0 million?
what happened was there were some lingering inventories. First, to answer your question, no, there was not. We were not in Toys R Us UK, and that was by choice between ourselves and our distributor. We felt that Smith putting our eggs in the Smith's Toys basket was better. So we were not in the Toys R Us UK. So that was an impact. What did impact some of the earlier sales in international was that Amazon and our distributor came off 2017 with some lingering inventory, which, you know, allowed them to cover some of their spring sets and their spring sales without having to order new goods. There was also a transition there from some older models into newer models that they were hoping to liquidate before investing into the newer models. So some of those sales did come a little bit later. The other thing that impacted was we had one major factory that closed on us in March or April with late warning, and some of the early shipments to international, which sometimes they take the first shipments in May or June, we're not able to be met because of this factory closing. So although the sales were down, I mean, the sales were flat, international sales, it didn't really show a bump in some of the new items, I mean, some of the new partners that we developed, simply because of inventory, simply because of some older models that were being phased out, and also a hiccup with a factory that went out on us.
Okay. So probably going forward, based on your other comments, we should expect to see actually some growth in international, but we're not really seeing it right now just because of some sort of transitory issues.
Yeah, like, you know, Australia came in really late with their commitments. We had a scrap just to get them inventory. Spain came really late with their commitments, and this was because, you know, the international market works a little bit different. They're a lot slower in their decision. They're a lot more methodical. So we had seen them in October. We had seen them in January, and finally, they started to give us their commitment in that May show in London. And, you know, we had a scramble. We had a scramble to get them some inventory. We didn't get them as much as we could. But the good thing is that whatever we did get them has sold through, you know, they've cleaned out the inventory. So we're in position to get some early spring business next year and continue going strong into 2019.
Okay. And then just to clarify on the sales that shifted from Q2 to Q3, Gary, I think you said that they actually did physically ship in Q2. So we've kind of got a good head start into Q3 revenue just because of revenue recognition. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, the vessels, so these were direct import shipments shipping from China. They did physically sail that in the last week or two of September, but revenue recognition, we needed to have the cargo receipt stamped in with a September date, and they ended up not getting stamped just due to delays at the freight forwarder. They didn't get stamped until October, so those shipments technically, just purely accounting rules, had to get counted in October. So it sort of paints a different picture for Q2, but it, like you said, it does get us off to a really hot, fast start for Q3.
Okay. And then one last question I have, just sort of, you've spoken, you know, a bit to how things have changed for Singing Machine, you know, without Toys R Us, and how is the, you know, how are toy sales, you know, maybe I shouldn't say toy sales, but sales shifting, you know, without Toys R Us. I was just kind of wondering what the sort of industry expectations are, to the extent that you know them, of how toy sales and you know, and products like karaoke will kind of, you know, shift going forward without Toys R Us.
Well, I mean, I've seen some of the sort of larger, wider industry numbers. Like NPD puts out some numbers. I think there's also a toy, there's a specialty toy magazine publication that also puts out their projections for toy numbers. I've been seeing that, I mean, despite Toys R Us going down, I'm still seeing strong expectations for the toy industry this year. You know, we've done comp shops, we've walked through Target, we've walked through Walmart. We're seeing certainly at Target a much, much larger toy section than they've ever had in the past. We're seeing companies like Party City pop up toy shops. We're seeing, you know, Kroger now has sort of a toy store within a store concept. Amazon, for the first time ever, dropped a huge toy catalog, a physical catalog, that was shipped out to every single Prime member household.
Which we were in.
Which we were featured in, by the way, and also distributed through Whole Foods.
So I can give a little more insight.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, here's the biggest shift is, you know, Toys R Us being a specialty store, they were able to carry a breadth of a line, you know. I mean, we had, like I said before, we had 12 feet of space, and a lot of other toy manufacturers or youth electronic manufacturers were really able to offer consumers a big breadth of line, you know. And I think what's going to change is people are going to concentrate on real good product offerings, since there are limited space. You know, so you're not going to be trading off as much sales. You're going to be concentrating on specific price points and SKUs with features, which is something that we're doing as well. I mean, we probably know that we no longer need in the karaoke space to carry 25 to 30 different SKUs. We could maybe condense the line a little bit more, which is going to help out, because then we could concentrate our inventory purchases on those concentrated SKUs that are well distributed and keep a good backup inventory. Whereas before we had to kind of keep a little bit of everything to appease Toys R Us, and now we could put all our eggs in some of our winners that we've seen that are selling through across the board, not only in Toys R Us, but in Walmart and Target and Amazon. So we are concentrating that, and we're recognizing that as a good opportunity for us on our domestic side of the business, especially during the fourth quarter, not our fourth quarter, but the calendar year fourth quarter, to be able to react quickly to some upside opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Mike.
Our next question comes from Brock Irwin. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. I apologize if I missed this on the prepared remarks, but can you just clarify when the recovery from Toys R Us occurred, and where does that show up in the financial statements?
Yeah, the recovery happened during this quarter, the quarter two, and there should be a line item called bad debt expense recovery in the financial statements. Okay, you'll notice the current year says it's $88,000. We also have to adjust our bad debt reserve, if you will, during the quarter for the increased amount of accounts receivable that we have. So as our receivables grow, I have to adjust the bad debt expense to meet that. So ordinarily, if there wasn't a recovery in there, that $88,000 that you see in bad debt expense for quarter two, if everything was nice, even keel, and I didn't have to adjust every quarter to the increase in sales, the increased risk, if you will, then you would have seen a favorable $233,000 pickup on that line. So it's netted in with the quarterly adjustment that's on the bad debt expense / recovery line.
Got it. Okay, that helps. Thanks. Can you give some color about how that bad debt calculation for your receivables works, and like what kind of what inputs go into that formula, I guess?
Well, to give you some sort of basis of what is happening is the major retailers, okay, the ones that, you know, are not in the news, like big, you know, they're about to go under, and we don't believe we have those kind of risks in there right now. Those guys tend to have less of a risk than the smaller retailers. So I take a certain percentage of the accounts receivable that belong to the majors, and come up with a potential risk number for them, as well as the smaller retailers that we deal with that are not the major retailers. So those, obviously, I take a bigger percentage of those. Combine those two and come up with a number that I feel is adequate to cover. And again, it's based on history. We generally don't have a lot of bad debt per se. I mean, you have deductions for co-ops and returns and all that stuff, but that's not bad debt. Those are legitimate chargebacks. So consequently, what I'm really trying to do is put in for, you know, known risks out there, number one, at 100% if I know something is really imminent, okay, or that the nature of, you know, somebody's taking a turn for the worse, but a relatively small percentage of receivables, because history has shown that, you know, the write-offs, unless it's something like a Toys R Us, it's, you know, and it's totally unexpected, there's not a lot of risk involved in getting payment. I hope that helps.
Yep, that helps. Thanks. All right, that's it for me, guys. Thanks.
All right, Brock. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Philip Nassett. Go ahead, please. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, guys. I'm living in Canada, as some of you know, and I've been noticing that in Toys R Us in Canada, you face a competition against iKaraoke. They only have few items. You have a full line. I believe that's Melo talked about it a little bit, and he says that basically we have a lot of shell space, but on the other hand, you are facing some competition who are doing sales every 2-3 weeks. And of course, it's a big headache for you because basically, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say is we are facing a competition with lower prices. And should we reduce the number of items that we have and to be able to fight them and eliminate them? And that would be one of my first question. My second question would be, where do you see the momentum with CD player and downloads? Obviously, people go in the stores and they're looking at the cost that it would be to only use downloads versus the CD players. And I believe we have Stingray as a partner. Is it possible to open also other lines or are we obliged with a contract that we have to deal only with Stingray, or some other people are trying to work with you? People can download and use, go get their music, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. And also, finally, what's your vision with the Asian market? Where are we there? What countries are we focusing to open new sales? I know it's a lot of questions, but I will try to make an email and have a longer chat with you later on.
Yeah, I'll try to address all of them. Toys R Us, I mean, Canada is still going strong. Their year-over-year sales are still looking pretty positive. iKaraoke, which is formerly Akai, they're our competitor. They're knowledgeable in the business. We're going to phase that sometimes. I mean, we're going to have shelf space that are going to be, that's going to go to competitors if they have a good offering. So they have been really aggressive in the marketplace trying to take some market share. We believe that they're, that's not a big threat to our business. The Singing Machine brand is synonymous with karaoke, and the only thing that we look at competition mostly from a licensing standpoint, where eKids has their niche and their demographics of this category. But we think that the licensing actually helps us, because if that kid grows up singing, then eventually when they get older, they'll buy into a Singing Machine. So we're not worried. We know the company. They do a good job, and competition is good for us because it drives innovation and it drives the competitive juices going. The other one was
CDG. CD, yeah, and download, if you can. Yeah.
Yeah, the CDG. I mean, we know where we're going. We know where we want to go. And we're headed towards that direction in terms of product offering. We think the streaming and the downloads. The streaming is definitely the future, and we're seeing that that shift continuing to happen with the increase in subscription with our mobile app. So we see that there. We don't see it so much in the physical CD, although our physical CD machines are still doing well. We did a small survey that shows that people are still buying CDGs and they still want to see that format be supported in some way somehow. So it's a fine line in how we access new technology while still not foregoing people that have a library of CDs available there. So, like, for example, Target still carries 4 feet of space of karaoke music. Toys R Us still carries music. Walmart carries their music seasonally. So, they're still being serviced because of our machines being put out in the marketplace. And in terms of market, we want to grow everywhere. We want to grow, and we want to do it with our line. So we're in negotiations right now with Italy. I think Italy would be a really good get for us because they do extremely well in karaoke. Launching Spain was key for us. France, we're in currently negotiations with two distributors. Australia, we launched this year. Like I said, Denmark launched this year. Schmidt's Toys just bought into Germany and Austria. They bought the Toys R Us brand there. And since we already have a relationship with Schmidt's Toys, we believe that we could enter those markets through their store offerings. So, you know, little by little, we're expanding. I mean, even the Middle East, we're in conversation. So in 2019, we'll be in the Middle East. Japan, we're still there. And the toughest one has been China. We were in talks for a couple of years, and it's just a really tough market to penetrate. Some unreal expectations in terms of margins that they want to work in. So we're still fighting along, but it's going to be longer than what we expected.
All right. All right. Okay, thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star and one on your touch tone. Okay, at this time, there appear to be no further questions.
All right, well, I want to say thank you to everybody. We certainly appreciate all the spirited questions. Looks like we went very long on time today, but again, I appreciate everyone taking time there this morning to learn more about our second quarter. We look forward to talking to everybody in approximately 90 days for our third quarter update. That being said, everyone have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.